All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. So today we're going to be reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 10. And we'll say this, a few prayers first. Omangana Timurandasya Gana Gana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Namaha Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhirati Swayam Paratakam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakama Shri Guru Sacham Hatagahacham Sahagana Laita Shri Vishakam Sacham Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Rahe Vindavaneshre Rishabhama Sute Devi Pranamani Hare Priya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pavanichananda Shri Vaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Vara Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tesham satata yuktanam. Vajitam priti purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Enamam upayanti te. Tesham satata yuktanam. Vajitam priti purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Enamam upayanti te. Tesham satata yuktanam. Vajatam priti purvakam. Tadami buddhi yogam tam. Yena mam upayanti te. Tesham satata yuktanam. Vajatam priti purvakam. Dami buddhi yogatam. Yenamam upayantite. Tesham satata yuktanam. Vajatam priti purvakam. Dami buddhi yogatam. Yenamam upayantite. Tesham satata yuktanam. Vajatam priti purvakam. Tadami buddhi yogatam. Yenamam upayanti te. Okay, so translation by Srila Prabhupada. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Please repeat. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Buddha Yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of Buddha Yoga. Now, Buddha Yoga is explained. Buddha Yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddha means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. One tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called Buddha Yoga. In other words, Buddha Yoga is a process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculation to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna, from within, gives him instructions so he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. Hare Krishna. So, in reading this verse, you know, to one who's constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I kind of was thinking of the introduction to Nectar Devotion, which I really love, you know, where Rupa Goswami he talks about love and how it progresses. Like when a child is born, the love is between the child and the mother, and the mother and father. Then it progresses to love, possibly between siblings, brothers and sisters, and then grandparents, aunts and uncles. And he gets a little older, friends come into the circle. And then oftentimes there's love for the community, and it may go wider into love for the state or love for the nation. And even farther than that, it may be love for humanity and even love for all living entities, including, animals, every 8,400,000 species of life, just love for everyone. But beyond that is the very most perfect love. Like it explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the three stages of Sambandha. It's like understanding that, you have a relationship with God. And then Abhideya, but that's some action, like they're speaking about here, Buddha Yoga, some action Krishna consciousness. So you have a relationship, but now you're doing some service. And then ultimately, that is culminated in pure love, in prayojana, pure love of God. So Rupa Goswami goes on to talk about service. And of course, we're all familiar with service, whether you're a devotee or not, because everything is based on service. The mother serves the child, the mother serves her husband serves the wife and the children. The teacher serves the students, and the students serve the teacher, and on and on and on. There's so many different kinds of relationships, but again, to get that very most perfect love. And we say perfect love, what we mean is that even the most perfect relationship, at some point there is an end, due to death, even if it's perfect all the way through, which that would be rare, but even if that happened, everything comes to an end. So, and the love, this eternal love we're speaking of, this prayojana or prema, is love that goes on forever. So it's something for us worth pursuing, because that's something that we're always able to take shelter of. And as we cement that relationship, as we become more confident in that relationship with Krishna, we become more steady in all of our relationships, and we're able to help guide so many other people. So I thought we'd look at a couple of case studies of people who have developed this love of God. Just starting with a little bit of faith, like Shraddha is one of the first stages of the practices of devotional service, so a little bit of faith. So, here we had Narada. Many of you may know this story. Narada was a young boy, and his mother was working in an ashram where sages and yogis, during the rainy season, they would take shelter. So the master of the ashram, he hired her to help serve, the sages. And Narada also served his mother. And so Narada was privy to hearing lots of Krishna Katha, even though he was only 5 years old. Some of it, definitely, he absorbed some of it. And also, sometimes when there was prasadam left, he asked permission from the sages, could he have some of that prasadam? And they very happily gave it to him. So he had that going. Actually, just to share with you, when I was in Vrindavan, must have been 1976, and everyone was going to Sevakunj, but one of the devotees, Kishori, she had asked me, could I stay back and help, help in the kitchen? So I didn't really want to, but I did it, because she asked me to do it. So one of the services ended up that I did was when the plates came, Prabhupada's plate came back, was taking all the prasadam off. But as soon as I got it off, there was like a room full of sannyasis, wanting the prasadam. So I was like, how is this? How am I going to do this? So what I did is the next day when it came, the plate, before I washed the plates, maybe this was the wrong thing to do, but I did it. I took the prasadam right off the spoon. I went outside. I paid my obeisances. I took the prasadam right from Prabhupada's spoon, ate it, and then washed up and came back into the kitchen, and then washed the plates and gave it to all the sannyasis. So that prasadam is very, very powerful. So Narada was able to get some of that prasadam. In the meantime, his mother, she went out one evening, you know, to, you know, maybe pick some flowers or pick some vegetables for the next day. And she was walking along, and unbeknownst to her, there was a snake watching her foot come down, and he struck. And so she was bitten by the snake, and she pulled it off and threw it away. And almost immediately she started, you know, she had a headache, so she started holding her head, and then she felt weak, and she fell to the ground, and she passed away. So it was very sad, even though Narada Muni, he knew enough to know that Krishna was taking care of her, but he thought, like, what about me? Because when it came time for all the sages to move on, you know, he was by himself. So he thought, well, I'll just have to do what they've been instructing me to do all along. So I'll go to the forest and I'll just meditate on Krishna. So that's what he did. He went to the forest and he just started chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, with that shraddha, with that faith that he had. And he had the Sadhusanga behind him too, the association devotees, so he knew he was doing the right thing. And so he was meditating on the Lord in the heart, and Krishna revealed himself, his form. So Narada was like so ecstatic, you know, but he opened up his eyes and the Lord disappeared. And so he went back. He thought, okay, I'm just going to do it again. I'm going to try it again. So he tried it again, but it just wouldn't happen. And then he heard a voice. Krishna said, "Dear Narada, I have appeared to you, but I won't appear to you again during this life." And Narada was like, "Well, why not?" And he said, "Because I've appeared to you. Why did you appear to me? I appeared to you just to enthuse you in this life. And by the end of this life, you'll be able to come back to me." So it was a hard thing for Narada to hear, because when you see Krishna, you know, the culmination of all austerities and all penances, it's hard to have it taken away, but he saw it, so it was worth working for. So that was one of the stories of a young boy with, you know, a little bit of faith. And then another story of a young boy with some faith is the story of Dhruva. And Dhruva was the son of a king, King Uttanapada. And the king had two wives, Suruchi and Suniti. And Dhruva was the son of Suniti, who wasn't the favorite wife of the king. Suruchi was the favorite. So one day, Uttama, the son of Suruchi, she was climbing up in the king's lap. And Dhruva thought, yeah, I'm going to climb up there too. I'm going to climb up on the, you know, a natural thing for a little boy to want to do with his brother, you know. But when he started to climb up, Suruchi, the co-wife, she said, "You know, Dhruva, gosh, you know, you just can't, it's not meant for you, not meant for you in this lifetime. If you really want to climb onto your father's lap, then you have to wait until next life and be born into my womb. And then you'll be able to, can you imagine, saying that? And then you'll be able to sit on your father's lap." So Dhruva was like, it was like, said like something struck him, like almost like a snake. He had a kshatriya spirit that hurt him so much. But he looked at his father like with some, what's he going to do? Is he going to welcome me? But the father was controlled by the wife. He didn't do anything. So Dhruva, he ran back to his mother. He ran back to Suniti. He said, Mother, you know. And many of the palace people who were in there, and they saw what happened, they explained to Suniti what had happened. And Suniti, it said that she had this beautiful lotus face, but just like in the heat, sometimes a leaf would just wither up, her face also withered up. And she was crying. She was so hurt. She said, "You know, Dhruva, it's true. I'm not the favorite wife. And he doesn't really care for me. And I'm so sorry this happened to you. But the one instruction that your stepmother gave you, that Suruchi gave you, was you go to the forest and meditate. And then in the next life, you know, you may get that opportunity to sit on your father's lap." So she said, "You should do that." And she also said, which I thought was very significant, she said, "Whatever you do, don't wish ill on anyone. Because whenever you wish ill on someone, it'll come back on you." So with those instructions, Dhruva went off to the forest
And he also began to meditate very seriously. And he had a strong, mature desire. He wanted his own planet. He wanted something bigger and better than his father, you know? And even though he got so much instruction from Narada Muni, who is his spiritual guide, and kind of like Narada Muni said, you know, you're just a little boy. What do you care what she said? It doesn't matter. You know, just don't pay attention to it. Just go on with your life. And Dhruva explained, he goes, you don't understand. I'm a Kshatriya. I've been wounded. You know, I cannot just let this go. I have to do something. So he kept on chanting and meditating. And Krishna appeared to him in his heart. So, you know, he was chanting, meditating, just overwhelmed. It said, even though Krishna appeared to him, it was like broken glass. Like it was what he had wanted, what he had wished for, his material desires. It all seemed like nothing compared to what he was getting. So he opened up his eyes, thinking that Krishna wouldn't be there, but Krishna was right there in front of him, and Krishna was ready to award him. He did award him his own planet. So this is another example, and I thought it also noteworthy that both of these boys, you know, they had reverses, you know, adverse reverses happen in their life. For Narada Muni, his mother died. That's pretty serious. And for Dhruva, he was seriously insulted by the stepmother and his father. Of course, later on, the father regretted it and made amends and all of that, but at the time. So sometimes things like that in our life, they happen, you know, some adversity, and we don't understand it, and we don't want it, we want to turn the clock back, you know, we want to start over again, we don't want this adverse situation. But as we can see in the lives of these two boys, it was something that spurred them on to, you know, a higher platform in life, you know, higher, be able to reach that very, very highest goal. So as devotees, we have to understand that Krishna takes such a special care of us, and that he's always trying to encourage us to move along. Another story that I love is the story of Ambarish. And Ambarish was a king, and very honorable and very wealthy, and a pure devotee, you know, a total pure devotee, you know, always worshiping Krishna. He was just ending like a month-long fast. It was Ekadashi, and he was getting ready to break his fast. But this sage, this ascetic, Durvasa Muni, came by, and Maharaj Ambarish was so happy to see him. He said, oh, you know, obeisances, and please come and join me in honoring prasadam. But Durvasa Muni said, well, just wait, I'll go to the river, I'll bathe, and then after that, you know, I'll join you in taking prasadam. So he went to the river. In the meantime, the time went on, and the time came for Maharaj Ambarish to break his fast. But Durvasa Muni wasn't there, and Durvasa Muni was known as being very temperamental, and for being very generous with his curses. So Maharaj Ambarish, he consulted the brahmanas. You know, at that time, kings always had a group of brahmanas where if they were unsure of something, needed advice, the brahmanas were there to give it. The brahmanas said, you can drink some water, and that way it's like breaking a fast and not breaking the fast at the same time. So that's what Ambarish did. Maharaj Ambarish took some water. So Durvasa Muni, he returned from going to the river, and due to his mystic power, he was able to surmise that Maharaj Ambarish had broken the fast. So go figure, but he became so angry that he pulled out a tuft of hair, he threw it on the ground, this big demon appeared, and his intention was to kill Maharaj Ambarish for that. So Maharaj Ambarish, he was nonplussed, you know, he just stood there. He just stood there, surprised, but he had such faith in the Lord. He had developed such a strong relationship, and that's the benefit of developing a strong relationship with the Lord, is that he can take us through so many difficulties. You know, he can help us through so many trials and tribulations. So when Lord Narayan saw that what was happening, he got his Sudarshan Chakra and he directed him to go and do away with Durvasa. So Durvasa, he started running. He ran all the way to the Himalayas and he hid in a cave. But do you think he could hide away from Sudarshan Chakra? No, not even close. He went right in there and Durvasa had to jump out again and run away to... He ran to Lord Brahma. He thought, Lord Brahma's my friend, he'll be able to help me. So he went to Lord Brahma and said, oh, please, please help me. You know, it's going to kill me, you know, the Sudarshan Chakra. And Lord Brahma says, gosh, I wish I could, but I can't. That's not my jurisdiction. So Durvasa Muni, and right behind him, you know, is the Sudarshan Chakra. It's just very, very close. He can feel the heat. So he ran to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gave him the same kind of answer. He said, you know, this is not something I can do. You're going to have to go to Lord Narayan himself and ask him to help you with this. I can't help you. So he, please, 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 but they were powerless. That was not their, but something they could do. So he went to Lord Narayan and just confident that Lord Narayan would be able to help him, but Lord Narayan said, I can't. He said, why can't you? And he quoted Sadavo Hridayam Mayam. Yeah, he said, the saints are my heart, and I am their hearts, and I don't know anyone but them, and they don't know anyone but me. And he said, but you're the Supreme Personality. You know, you could stop it. He goes, no, I can't. Because I've given up my control. I've given up, you know, to my devotees. You know, they control me now. So if you want to be forgiven, you have to go directly to Maharaj Ambarish. So that's what he did. He went to Maharaj Ambarish, and Maharaj Ambarish was able to quell the Sudarshan Chakra. And Durvasa Muni, he prostrated himself. He had tears flowing out of his eyes, and Maharaj Ambarish, he very generously forgave him, even though he was gonna kill him for drinking some water. So Prabhupada makes a point, and it's a very important point, that so many times, you know, great yogis and ascetics, they perform so many austerities, so many penances, but without the love, it actually can make your heart hard, and it actually, in one sense, can make you more full of yourself. You know, look at me, I can do this, I can do that. I have this mystic power, I have that mystic power. I can become larger than the larger, small than the smallest, all of this. But in this case, he was powerless until Maharaj Ambarish was able to forgive him for what he did. And Durvasa Muni, he was very impressed when he realized the power and the potency of a pure devotee. So that is what we're all striving for. And Prabhupada is so merciful that when someone asked him once, Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there in your movement? Prabhupada turned to one of his disciples and said, how many devotees do we have in the movement? And the devotee said, 5,000. We have 5,000 pure devotees in our movement. Because in Prabhupada's eyes, once you take up this process and you're sticking to the process, you're ultimately going to become a pure devotee. So he already considers you a pure devotee because of that. So we have these examples of these personalities who despite all odds, even our own Srila Prabhupada, you know, we look at his life and how, you know, so many obstacles, like after translating the Bhagavad Gita, the whole manuscript was stolen. What would you have done? I would have thought, Krishna must not want me to do this. You know, if you do, but no, Prabhupada just started over and he translated the Bhagavad Gita. So many things, two heart attacks on the way over on the boat. Again, for some people that would be enough to really think, let me go back to America. You know, this is a warning that I shouldn't go through with my plan. But not Prabhupada. Even though he would go to the ship, you know, where the shipyard was, every week even, and check when were the ships leaving, when were they going back to Vrindavan. He never bought a ticket at that time, because he had faith in the words of his spiritual master, and his spiritual master said, if you ever get money, then print books and go to the West, because when you go there, there's going to be people there who are ready for this knowledge. So all through the scriptures, we have this information. Another very important code goes Swanta Stena Katabrita, and that means that devotees are places of pilgrimage. This quote was actually used when Vidura, who was like the half brother of Dhritarashtra, you know, he had left home because Duryodhan was very upset with him and was insulting him on a regular basis, because he was counseling Dhritarashtra not to hassle the Pandavas, because these Pandavas, they're wonderful devotees. Like, what are you thinking of? But Dhritarashtra, he was not only blind materially, he was blind spiritually. And he just wanted his family to be happy. He wanted his son Duryodhan to be happy. So he allowed him to do all the things he did. But ultimately, still, he was defeated. So Vidura came back to the home and he said, Dhritarashtra, you know, look at, you know, after everything you've done, still you've lost everything. You've lost all your sons, you know, you've lost everything, and you're living at the palace of people that you were trying to destroy. And Yudhisthira, he used that phrase, Swanta Stena Gadaprita, that Vidura, he said, was like a place of pilgrimage. That pure devotees, wherever they go, and we saw that with Srila Prabhupada, and we see that with many devotees today. And still, we see that devotees, you know, they're able to give so much, and they're always thinking of how they can give, how they can distribute prasadam, how they can give somebody a book, how can they just become friends. Like another wonderful example of a great devotee in our present time is Jayananda Prabhu. And on Jayananda, he was just friends with everybody. And he was expert because he was friends with everybody. You know, people naturally gave to him, like there's a Vijitatma. I don't know if Vijitatma is here today, because he gave me this like 3-page paper of stories about Jayananda, which it was so beautiful. But he talked about how when he would go to the market, there was a king. He was called, I think, King Banana King Louis. And he would always give Jayananda so many bananas. And during the Ratha Yatra, the festival, when Jayananda was working on the cart, it said either he would eat so much, he would hardly eat anything. And when he was working on the cart, he would hardly eat anything. He would just eat bananas and buttermilk. And you know, whoever would come to help, Vijitatma said he was kind of king of the crazies in San Francisco, because all these very unusual types would come along. But he would just engage them in the service of putting together the Ratha Yatra cart. And some of those people became devotees, and even those who didn't become devotees, they began their path of devotional service. He said once he was distributing books, and Vijitatma said, oh, let's, this other mall just opened. Let's go to this other mall. We can distribute there. So Jayananda said, okay, whatever you say, let's go. But almost very shortly after Vijitatma got into the mall of distributing, these two big burly security guards took him, and they took him into a little office, and they said, you're going to jail, boy. He described them as a cross between the SS, you know, the Nazis, and a southern sheriff. That's a pretty heavy combination right there. And they just kept him in there for like a really long time, and just kind of like bad-mouthing him and torturing him, telling what was going to happen to him. But finally at midnight he said, you know what? We're going to let you go. But if you ever come back here. So Vijitatma, he came out and he ran over, and there was only one car in the parking lot. Who was it? It was Jayananda. And he was in, and he was chanting, he goes, I've been chanting so intensely for you, for them to let you go. So Jayananda, it's interesting too, because Jayananda, he wasn't like a flashy devotee. And oftentimes in Prabhupada came, and gave class, he would end up falling asleep in the class. And devotees would try to wake him up. Prabhupada said, no, let him sleep. He's just doing so much, too much service. But of all the devotees, you know, all the wonderful devotees, it's Jayananda's appearance day that we celebrate every year, you know, and talk about his wonderful pastimes, because, you know, he was so humble, and he was so attached to the holy name. The holy name, you know, I read a wonderful quote, and this was from a class that Prabhupada gave in Switzerland, in Geneva, in 1972, I believe, on 1.13.10. And Prabhupada talks about the Lord in the heart. And of course, that's what we're focusing in on today, these devotees who are able to really concentrate on the Lord in the heart. So Prabhupada talks about that. And he says, concentrate on Krishna, on making a throne for Krishna in your heart. You say, it can be a diamond throne. It can be decorated with silk pillows. It can be decorated with sapphires and rubies. And then when Krishna comes and he sits down on the throne, then you can wash his feet. You know, and he said, this is fact. This is fact. Just because you're imagining it, don't think it's not happening. It's happening. Krishna will come in, he'll sit down, you'll wash his feet. You'll bring him beautiful clothes. You know, you'll bring him beautiful flowers. So sometimes when we're in a situation, you know, where we can't do so much service, let's say we're sick or we're far away from the temple, whatever, we can always concentrate on that Lord in the heart, you know, on serving that Lord in the heart and taking shelter of that Lord in the heart. You know, when things are going well and when things are tough, you know, that Krishna is always, he's always there for us in so many ways. And bhakti mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tapata tatjamam tatvatonya va vishate tadanantaram. One can understand me as I am only by devotional service. And when one comes to full realization of such devotion, he can then enter the kingdom of God. So we're all fortunate that we've began this process, because Lord Chaitanya says once you start this process, he's going to drag you the rest of the way back. So don't fear, you know. There's another, maybe this will be my last story, but it's a very sweet story about a devotee named Raghunandana and his father, Mukunda. And they came from a long line of families, you know, worshiping deities. So the deities in their home, every day they made a feast for them and offered artik. But on one particular day, the father, Mukunda, he had to leave. He had some business he had to attend to. So he said to his son, Raghunanda, he said, listen, you know, this is very important. You need to offer this prasadam to the deities. So make sure you do it. Make sure you do it on time. Raghunanda says, okay. So the father left. Raghunanda got everything ready. You know, he put the puris on the plate and, you know, the sabjis and the sweet rice and everything on there. And he said all the prayers, you know, very sincerely from his heart. And he opened up his eyes, but the prasadam was still there. So he was like, no, but you have to eat this. You have to eat this. You don't understand. My father said, you have to eat it. He was practically crying, you know. So Didi was like, okay, if I have to, I have to. So all the prasadam disappeared. They're usually offer the prasadam. And Krishna, because he's Angani Yasa Sakalendra Ritimanti, each organ is possessed with the power of every other organ. So Krishna generally eats with his eyes. So when we offer prasadam, Krishna looks at it, he accepts it, and this prasadam was left for us. But Raghunandana, he wanted to please his father. So when the father came back from his work, he was like, where's the prasadam? And Raghunanda was like, well, the deity ate it. He was like, what? No, I mean, what's left after? He goes, no, they ate it. And Mukunda was, what? So he hid, and he asked the next day for his son to do it again, and he saw what happened. So again, that deep faith, you know, we give several stories, and also, you know, the story of Prahlad also, That even though so many difficulties, he didn't say, gosh, thanks a lot, Krishna. I'm your servant, and you know, you throw me off a cliff, and you're, you know, snakes and elephants, and putting me in so much danger. No, he just completely, you know, had that faith in the Lord. Even though sometimes things may not turn out perfectly, like in some of the stories I'm telling, they may have a very different ending. That ending may be there to help us move along. So, and I have one poem that I copied that I thought was so beautiful. And this, I believe, was written by Mangalananda. It was either Mangalananda or Jamadagni Prabhu. And it's called Look Within. That's the name of it. It goes like this. A shadow of grief is covering your face. Are you looking for a friend who is in a distant place? Has your mind been troubled with duplicity and doubt? Are you properly protected, or must you do without? O child of this dark age, have you found someone who knows the purpose of your life and where your love should go? Look within. See the truth is there. You'll find a friend. The Lord of everywhere. Search in your heart. He never did depart. Look within. He'll speak to you. Within our hearts, we hide the hope of a better life to come. That answer from the Master, rising like the sun, covered by illusion, we are behind to Krishna's plan. He came and sang the song of life, which is the light of man. Nature is God's melody. Alone he plays the tune. And when we harmonize, our future is brighter than the moon. Look within, see the truth is there. You'll find a friend, the Lord of everywhere. Seated in your heart, he never did depart. Look within, and he'll speak to you. So, our future is very bright. You know, we're so lucky to have the beginnings of faith, to have Sadhu Sangha, we have the Association of Devotees. You know, that we're trying to get rid of our bad qualities, and we're hearing bhajans and chanting every day. And that chanting, from Hare Bhakti Chintamani, it says that chanting, it's the highest of all sacrifices. It's the utmost devotional service. There's nothing that's greater than chanting the holy name. So thank you so much for listening. And anybody have anything they'd like to add? A story perhaps of your own faith, something that made you feel closer to Krishna because of some experience that you had? Or just something you want to add? Anybody? Yeah? Pardon?
Hold on. Yeah. Poem is in a song.
Yes, it's in a poem.
I recognize
that. I didn't have the guts to sing it, though. But you're right. It was definitely a song. Okay. All right. If nobody else has a question or comment, we can end here. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.